I would like to welcome everyone to the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee meeting, June 1st, 2023 at 3 p.m. And would the clerk kindly call the roll, please?
Chair Manajo Green.
Present.
Deputy Chair Gina Hansett.
Here.
Legislator Aaron Levine.
Here.
Legislator Joe Maloney. And Legislator Eric Stewart.
Here.
And Legislator Maloney will be here shortly. Okay. And I would like to ask that we pledge allegiance, and I will do so on my good foot. Deputy Hansett, would you start the pledge,
sure.
Please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and have folks had a chance to look at the minutes of the May 4th meeting?
Yes.
Do I hear a motion?
Motion.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Of the May 4th. Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. And then the next item, Jim Gordon is on the board of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency. He sent around a letter expressing his concerns and suggestions, and it's been a couple months, but I did promise that we would hear what Jim has to say, and I'm going to again ask you to come closer so I can hear.
Sure.
And I will turn my aid up.
So hi everybody, and thank you for considering this. I wish Legislator Maloney was here because he expressed a little skepticism as I was leaving the meeting last month.
Jim, if you want, I think it might be valuable to do one other thing, because he'll be here shortly.
Okay, yeah, why don't we wait?
Let's take one other
sure.
item,
yeah,
and that
sure.
way...
Yeah, he's going over it twice.
He has questions, and,
yeah.
you
yeah,
know...
Yeah, no, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, okay, thank you. So I think at this point, I think this will work out well. If we go to resolution number 5, nope, that's the rights of the river. I want to bring up,
here it is,
resolution number 79, because Dana has something else she has to get to.
That's right, Dana. Yeah.
Yes, okay. So I would like to have a motion for purposes of discussion.
So moved.
For resolution number 79, urging the New York State to approve and implement an opt-out community distributed generation CDG program in New York. Do I hear a second? Okay, motion. For purposes of discussion, everybody approves the purposes of discussion. And there were some questions that had been asked at the last energy environment meeting that nobody here had clear answers to. Do folks remember their questions? Yes, please, Legislator Stewart.
So I was just confused as to the differences, or if it is basically the same thing as the community, the CCAs, the community. Why am I blanking on what I'm trying to say?
Community choice aggregation.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to come around here so
sure.
I don't have looking at people. And actually, I think I passed this around to your committee before. I only have three copies of it, but you guys can definitely
yes.
you know, share it if you have seen
Thank
this
you.
Before.
Yes.
So opt out CDG, you kind of have to understand first what CCA is and what regular CDG is, right? So regular community solar is just a private project that people volitionally sign up for, and it's owned by a private company, and people subscribe. So you get letters in the mail all the time asking you if you want
Dana, to. Dana, come a little closer if you don't
okay.
mind.
Sorry. And so CCA is a government structure where a municipality or a group of municipalities can also do it in New York, set up a program where they can, the main tool is buy electricity supply on your electric bill in bulk on behalf of all the customers on an opt-out basis, which means you get automatically enrolled, but you have to send people letters letting them know. If you don't want to be on our supply program, just check this box, you know, fill out this form, whatever it is, and you can opt out. So regular community solar is opt-in. CCA, which has to be passed by local law, is opt-out. The thing we're asking the state of New York to allow is kind of a combination of the two. It would be allowing those cities that have CCAs to use community solar on an opt-out basis. So that would mean they could sign a contract with a 5-megawatt project and enroll 1,000 households with on an opt-out basis. They could, and in the way we want to do the program and the way the state wants to do it, if the utilities are allowed to do it, is to enroll low-income customers first. The great thing about community solar, whether it's opt-in or opt-out, is it's 10% savings on your bill. It's automatically, it's like, you know when you buy those supermarket gift cards for $100, but you only pay $90 for them? That's what community solar is in New York. You're paying for, you're paying $90 for $100 worth of electricity credit on your bill. It's really just a bill credit program. So, because there's a savings, we want to prioritize it to low-income customers, since they have high energy burdens and they could benefit the most from a savings bill. Ultimately, we love everybody to sign up for community solar, but the opt-in program is oriented to low-income first, just in terms of order of enrollment. So that's really what the three different levels of the program are. And the Public Service Commission has not authorized opt-out CDG yet. They have not authorized CCAs to sign contracts with community solar projects so that they can automatically enroll customers yet. That's what we're asking the legislature to pass a resolution, a memorialization in support of. So it's not going to effectuate any program. It's just a statement of support that we think it's a good idea if governments who have CCAs will have this tool in their toolbox. They would still have to go through a lot of hoops to actually set it up, but that's what it is.
Awesome.
That's a very clear explanation.
Yes, thank you.
And it's probably the third time we've heard an explanation, but
it's complicated.
It is.
Yeah.
But this is opt-in, this is opt-out, this plus this is what this legislation.
And CCAs in general are meant to be opt-out, that, and it all starts with electricity supply. And the logic there is, if you can get 10,000 households in on one electricity supply contract, when you go to talk to that electricity supplier, you get a better deal. You have the bulk buying power. So that's the same situation with opt-out CDG. In fact, you might even be able to get 15% savings instead of 10%, depending on how you negotiate.
Okay. Thank you. And I would like to wait until Legislator Maloney gets here in case he has. And so I think Rights of River might. And can you stay for a few minutes till he gets here? And then we'll go to Board Member Gordon. But first we want to go to Attorney Gordon. To and Legislator Erner, so we're not going to take action yet on resolution number 79, but I'd like to go back to resolution number 5 and see where we are. And if I want to just commend this partnership, because I think we've done a really good job, but I also want to be sure everyone has their questions answered and is clear about what we're trying to do with resolution number 5, setting a public hearing on a proposed local law number 12 of 2022, local law providing for the protection and restoration of the Hudson River, also known as Mahakanetuck. Thank you. I've only worked for Clearwater for 23 years and I still can't pronounce it. Anyway, and for the rights of the residents of Ulster County and the river to clean water and a healthy and productive ecosystem, and to be held on July 18th. So we're at the point where we're setting a public hearing, but I'd like first to ask Legislator Erner if he wants to introduce, and Attorney Gordon to summarize what I hope everybody's had a chance to read.
What's that?
Need a motion to discuss. Purposes of discussion,
yes, please. So, I'll make that motion on resolution number 5.
And I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair, and I'm glad to be back here, committee. I have, since last month, returned to the county residents who had brought this to me and for us all to be able to consider it, the original version. And in the intervening time, Councilor Gordon has substantially rewritten what was originally presented to preserve what I feel is the spirit of what was being asked, but is on much more clear legal footing and clear to the purpose that it would serve the people as well. And I have heard back after all the edits from some of these folks who feel satisfied. They would like for you all to consider sending it to a public hearing at this point. Now I'd like to turn over to council to summarize the changes.
Okay, I'll try to be as brief as I can about this. The original law was sort of a simple right of nature law. There are several dozen of these laws, I think, around the country. There are two groups in Pennsylvania that are promoting these. The most common municipality they promote them to are municipalities that are facing some very serious threats like fracking and injection of frack chemicals and things like that. We're not quite in that position. This would have been a very broad law, very simple. It says the river's got rights, and if anybody violates those rights, they can be sued. The problem with these laws is that they're legally unenforceable. The courts have taken a 2x4 to them for two reasons. One, they just don't believe in the construct of the river having the rights of a person, and so things like standing and things like that just aren't happening. Number two, and this was almost more significant, it's very vague, and we don't do that anymore in the environment. We have specific environmental laws like the Clean Water Act. You can't discharge this, you can't discharge that. The right of the river, or right of anybody to be clean, how clean is clean, how do you enforce it, all that. So in a critical case, the court just said that actually protected Lake Erie, that created a Lake Erie Bill of Rights by the city of Toledo. The court said we can't enforce this. And so what I tried to do was a couple of things. I tried to maintain the right of the river because I think that the idea of these folks is that in spite of the courts coming down on the wrong side, that if enough municipalities pass them, it'll become ultimately a social thing. And we want to preserve that. We want to recognize that, but we don't want to expose it. And if you say the river's got rights, you can sue over those. It's just right there and exposed. That's the entire law. And so what we tried to do was essentially bake the right of the river into the law as part of other things, and then also put meat on the bones. And I'll turn to the meat on the bones in a second, but I also want to say we have a huge advantage in this state that folks in some of the other states that are facing this don't have, which means because we have the Green Amendment, which became part of our Constitution in 2021. And that basically says people have the right to a clean environment. And again, that faces the same problem of vagueness. Nobody really knows what that means. But the difference between that and these rights of the river, rights of the nature laws, is that when it's in the Constitution, the judges cannot ignore it. They can't blow it off. They can't ignore it. It actually is superior to statutes. A statute cannot be unconstitutional. Whereas a municipal law that says we're saying the right, the court can basically counteract that and not worry about it because it has unclear authority. Part of the problem with these laws is that the advocates assert that municipalities have almost complete authority to do what they want in their municipalities, and that's not the way New York State or the other states is run. That's another one of the legal problems. So what we're doing is, in summary, we're using the Green Amendment to say we can do this. We are giving rights to people to have a clean river. We're giving rights, and that's what the Green Amendment means here, is that people in Ulster County have the right to a clean and productive river. We are recognizing the right of the river in the same vein, and then we're giving at least four examples of what that means in particular, and I'll just turn to that to finalize the sort of the outline of what we did here. The four examples of what a clean and productive river means for Ulster County, two of them are specific river issues and two of them are governance issues. The specific river issues are the PCBs, the PCB problem, which many of you know had been addressed back in around, in a long-standing Superfund proceeding going back years, actually, and GE came in and dredged the river for, I think, at least $1 billion, and it was something like, $2.75 million cubic yards, and now the testing is in, and it wasn't enough, and some of the environmental groups are really pushing EPA to reopen it, and we would be essentially urging the county administration to participate in that process as an advocate for cleaning up the PCBs once and for all, because the fish are still too laden with PCBs to be eaten, particularly the stripers. Yeah.
I just want to make a direct comment, and that is that, just to be clear, that most of the work that was done in the upper Hudson.
Correct.
From the federal dam Troy up to Hudson Falls. Now EPA is in an agreement with General Electric to look at the lower Hudson, the mid Hudson, all the way down
specifically
to New York City.
The PCBs came from two GE plants that were located essentially north of the dam that essentially creates the estuary in Troy, south of the dam, where tidal, north of the dam, it's a river. The two facilities were upriver in Hudson Falls and Fort Edward. All of the dredging to date was done upriver to try to get those hot spots where the PCBs had congregated. They'd still come downriver, but the real serious concentrations were upriver. One of the ways that they're advertising that they're describing the new effort is to look at whatever hot spots there are downriver, look at the fish downriver. So this is really our shot at the apple. And this law would essentially state county policy to clean up the river, and also urge essentially. Require the county administration to participate in that. I want to say one more thing about the PCBs before we jump to the other issues, which is that there's actually two PCB issues. One is getting the PCBs out of the river and the fish, cleaning it up, but the second is what's called natural resource damages. Under Superfund, not only can you get a cleanup, but if the resource and the people have been damaged monetarily, if the resource requires restoration, people have been damaged, they can essentially, through this process, get what's called natural resource damages from a group of trustees, that mostly agencies that have been appointed to figure this out. The natural resource damages here are enormous, because the river was essentially shut down to fishing when the PCBs were discovered in the mid-70s, and literally there was a commercial fishery that was wiped out. Nobody's been able to fish commercially. The commercial fishery's gone. People can't eat the fish out of the river, by and large, and the river needs restoration. Scenic Hudson produced a report that they circulated about 2 weeks ago, essentially where they hired a company to look at the extent of the damages, and I forget the number now, but I want, off the top of my head, it was something like $21 billion. I mean, it was enormous. And they said Deepwater Horizon, that thing that blew up in the spewed oil into the Gulf of Mexico about 15 years ago, was settled on the natural resource damages for $10 billion. And Scenic Hudson has a variety of arguments, including this report, why it should be more. So we are advocating a full natural resource damage assessment, so that people can be compensated for the loss of the use of the river for 40 some odd years, now going on 50 years, and also that we can get the cleanup that we need. So that's the entirety of the PCB issue. EPA is going through this process right now. They held a public information session about a week ago. We'd like the county to get involved. That's the proposal in the law. Number two, and this is a more obscure issue.
I'm stretching my. I have a bad shoulder.
It's okay. I was just checking.
The chair is on that. Second big issue, which is actually much less well known, but it's something I've been aware of for over 20 years since I used to work at Riverkeeper in the early 2000s, which is their DEC has a very, very well-researched and serious proposal to physically restore a lot of Hudson River habitat that was damaged. If you go upriver from here, and by river, I'm still talking about the estuary, so it's the north part of the estuary from Troy down to Catskill, about 40 miles. This was very, very shallow, and the shallow part of an estuary is extremely productive. There's submerged, what's called submerged aquatic vegetation. The light can penetrate to the bottom. It's not that deep, and it just it's a wonderful fish nursery habitat, and the river had essentially 40 miles of it that was torn apart by the Corps of Engineers in the early and mid-20th century for the shipping channel. And the, what the Corps did was actually doubly bad, because not only did they dredge out the shipping channel, they sidecast the dredge spoils, and they filled in a lot of wetlands and channels and islands, and all in all DEC, and they took 10 years to study this. We met the researcher when I was still at Riverkeeper in the early 2000s. He finished up in 2011. He took a decade. They identified that about 4,000 acres were lost, an enormous area of this extremely productive portion of the river, and they proposed to restore it. And for the last 10 years, this restoration project has essentially gone nowhere. There's a lot of detail on that. We're still learning more detail. But while they're essentially doing a lot of restoration downriver in New York City and in what's called the Harbor Estuary, a lot of oyster beds being restored, upriver we've had almost nothing. Of the 4,000 acres, I think they've restored it depends how you count it, but maybe 5, and they propose to do another 10 acres in a few years. It's horrible. I mean, this is one of the most important ecological issues in the Hudson Valley, in my book, and it's gone, it's just sitting there. I know the commissioner was just in the papers about a week ago for a new project that they're doing on Skodak Island. It's going to be another few acres. This is demanding that they get this in gear. And actually, the Hudson River Restoration Program is now considering some of these things. The FREMAC just met this morning. But this would ask the county administration to become an advocate for fixing this river. One other point on this. One of the fish species that are in serious decline is the American shad. It's one of the river's signature fish species. This is shad spawning area, and DEC did a shad. The shad fishery has been shut down since 2010. DEC did a study for how to get the shad back on its feet, so to speak, and
on its fins.
Right. fixing this area of the river was one of the things that was recommended, and that report came out in March. I believe this is an incredibly important issue for the restoration of the Hudson River. It has been sitting around doing nothing. We're still figuring out why, but we want the county to become an advocate on this. So those are the two issue areas. There are two governance things, a simple one and a complicated one. The simple one is that we're going to require all Hudson River decisions to use the precautionary principle, which essentially is an environmental principle that if you don't know what damage you're going to cause, you don't do it. We have a little bit more formal language here in the law, but we want them to, and a lot of this is growing out, as you guys may know. There have been some concerns recently in our county about the Chippy project, and also downriver in Westchester and Rockland County about the proposed Holtec emissions. These are examples where people don't really know what the impacts are going to be, and they're very, very concerned, and the projects are moving forward with very, very limited oversight. And so, and that was actually Chippy was one of the things, the concerns about Chippy up here were one of the things that spurred the original drafting of the law. It's why the folks went to those guys in Pennsylvania to get this law drafted. The fourth one is called anti-degradation. It's a really old DEC policy that's never been implemented. Essentially, it would kind of do the same thing, which would require discharges that are not otherwise regulated to go through a process that they have to demonstrate that it's necessary for important social and economic development. It's an EPA regulation that requires the state to have a policy. The state's had a policy since 1985, and they've never implemented it. And that would load that policy into our law. Essentially, as it's written, it just requires a demonstration of important social and economic development if the quality is going to be lowered, and it requires the best technology. So those are the four things that we loaded in to give the right of the river some teeth. So the next time a court says, what the hell is this all about, we've got four things in here. Also, frankly, it just moves the ball forward. Instead of just running, people that don't really know what the river's about, just saying the river has rights, what we're proposing is four things that I think are very valuable rights for the river. And that's what the proposal is. So we tried to morph the previous proposal into something that has teeth, is a little bit more concrete, can actually get some things done, and also camouflages the right of the river a little bit, so it's not just run up the flagpole, so the next time it goes into court, it's going to get shot.
And I would like to welcome Legislator Maloney. And right now, we're on resolution number 5. We're working through. We set a couple other things aside in case you had questions. Just to point out, this is setting a public hearing. It's not our last consideration. So with that excellent overview, and Legislator Erner, is there anything you want to add? And then we'll see if we can move this.
Thank you. I'll just sum up by, I want to thank you, Council Gordon, for your bringing your experience and knowledge to bear on this decades work in this field. The detail that you provided, I think, is going to be the key to make this supported in any court that hears a case about it. And I think these are issues that we'll hear from the people, hopefully at the hearing, that whether they support these specific things, I suspect that they will. And I appreciate your urging intermunicipal comity to help from other counties and other jurisdictions, because of course the river doesn't just stick around Ulster County. And
I actually want to say a short thing on that. When the court threw out that Ohio law that basically purported to, you know, give the rights to Lake Erie, one of the things that it said is that Toledo, the city of Toledo, which is at the far western end of Lake Erie, had no rights to regulate the whole lake. That it's got there's two countries on it and five states and God knows how many counties and municipalities. That was one of the things, and I was very conscious of that, because when you look at the county's authority or jurisdiction over the Hudson River, you got to stop and think. Well, do we have jurisdiction over the whole river? Do we have jurisdiction over the sliver of the river, which is? And I had actually the county clerk did some research for us, and we found the old law that defined the county as going to the middle of the Hudson River. Mm-hmm. So you can look at the part of the river that we're talking about is sort of the northeast corner of Saugerties and the southeast corner of Marlborough out into the river. And so that's what we can and we've never even regulated that, but that's what. So what are we doing here, and what makes any? And remember, you've got to be rational. What are we doing? And so what I said was, really what I thought was, this would really be a set of principles to go out there to the general community. The right of the river, these specific things we want done, and oh, by the way, we can't do this job ourselves, so we're asking our sister municipalities to consider helping us, and we are offering our help to them. That's written into the law, and it's for the purpose of essentially attracting some attention to this, if that can happen. And as I said, that is happening now because of things like Holtec, and so you do have people on counties on the river now starting to think, well, should we be doing more? And this would be really the first bid in that conversation. So that's what we're doing as well.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think this sounds great, and I really am very appreciative to both of you for working together and taking Legislator Erner's really kind of aspirational ideas and fleshing them out and making something that, you know, can stand up legally. So I think it's a nice balance of realism and aspiration. And so I think this is something that I definitely can support 100%. So thank you both for your efforts. I know it's been kind of a slog. So
I think it'll be productive.
Before we call the question, does anybody have? Yes, please.
Just a quick comment. I think we may have exchanged an email, but I have tried to assist Paul Tobin and Chief Vincent Mann of the Ramapo Lenape Nation in a similar effort for the City of Kingston Common Council.
They passed it, didn't they?
I don't know if they did. Last I heard that they had more objections, and we went back and rewrote, kind of like you did, but I'd love to see...
Kingston has kind of the stripped-down version that's been shopped around. I'm not sure exactly where they're at on it. We had an initial conversation where I think the chair wanted to try to do something consistently with them, and they chose to go in their own direction. And so
I think it makes sense to be consistent with what you're doing.
The chair asked them to, and they just kind of said, we'll do our own thing, thanks.
Okay.
So,
but that consistency can still happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Legislator Maloney, I especially want to be sure since you came in a little bit late, do you have any questions or comments? Or
I always have the same question. Maybe I missed it because I am late, and I apologize. But this is not an action today. Not that the public hearing is going to put it in action. Let's say it gets passed, public hearing, we pass it after that. 6 months from now, this is now law of the land. Can I have a scenario of which something happens today and then something happens in 6 months and how it's different?
Well, the one thing we have, again, there's two issues where we're going to be asking the county to begin advocating so that the agencies hear from us. In that sense, it's a little bit like think of it as a ongoing memorializing resolution. So if we say, for example, we want the PCBs cleaned up, DEC may hold a number of public meetings where they're considering this or considering that, they actually held one a week ago, and that Senior Cuts tried to get everybody down to. That was an informational session. Then they're going to start making decisions.
So is this in large part a memorializing resolution, which I'm fine with if it is, because I felt as though that's where it was heading.
You mentioned that originally. It's really telling the county administration, we want you to be on this, and we want you to report back to us what's happening. So think of it this way. It's actually legislation that asks the county, particularly the Department of the Environment, to step up and begin being an active advocate on these issues for the people of the county and for the people of the river generally, as the county administration had done previously in certain circumstances, particularly a couple of years ago, Amanda.
Is it a mandated reporting aspect?
Yeah.
And there's teeth. What happens if we don't get the reports, and when do they come to us?
We ask them to report annually on the progress of the restoration.
Are we specific annually which month and which standing committee it'll go through?
No.
Otherwise, we could put all the words we want there, but if we don't have the logistical specifics for it to actually happen, these things don't happen.
I don't think I had that.
Phil's not here to make sure that his law, I mean, if he's here to do it, and is this something that happens every year, or is this a one-time thing?
I would point out to the committee that there's a section on implementation, which is toward the end. Section 7 is implementation and enforcement. County Executive of the Department of the Environment directed to implement the provisions of this local law to the maximum extent practicable in light of the centrality of the river. Executive Department shall zealously advocate these policies with jurisdictional agencies and annually report to the legislature as to the progress of the restoration.
Well, that won't be a substantive change, so we can go through with the public hearing, but I would like to get specific so it becomes a legitimate part of our yearly process. Otherwise, how do you hold someone accountable if we go, unless the year's over and then we go, you didn't do this. But let's put specifics to it so it's a part of our process.
Do you want specifics on annual reporting, or do you want to actually have something?
No later than an annual report, no later than the June meeting of energy and environment.
Do you want to amend?
I'm just throwing something out there, but I think that kind of thing.
We haven't done a notice of you. Do you want to propose an amendment?
I don't think that changes it substantively, so we can go through at this point, but I'd love to make note of that, and when we get it back from public hearing, we can take a month or two.
Well, we haven't gone through, it doesn't matter if it changes substance. This is just a proposal now, you can mark it up.
But I'm saying this is for a public hearing, and we'd have to go through, if we changed it in any real way, then we'd have to do another public hearing. I'm saying let's go through the public hearing, we don't have to change, none of the changes I'm talking about of getting it specifics in here would make us go through and have to do another public hearing.
It's the first public. We could just do it now the way you want it, and then we could.
Let's just do it now then.
If that's what you want.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know. I'm going to look through. There's a lot of changes here from the last time that I haven't looked through, but I don't think any of the changes I'm going to ask for are going to change anything to the point where we have to do another public hearing. Is my point. That may not be the only.
We can
make those amendments in July.
Yeah.
It would still be in time for the public hearing.
But
they're not even amendments.
Though, the council is saying that we could do this right now. So why don't we just
that particular
legally? What's happened now is that this is a proposed amendment from the previous sort of bare bones law. This is all the black here, all the black lines. This is just this legislator owner is essentially there's a motion for this amendment. You can make a motion to amend the proposed amendment, and we could put in language, and that becomes the law. That goes to public hearing.
Don't we want to just set the public hearing as amended?
It's up to the committee.
And then any further amendments, I think, can still be included, especially since you want to go through it a little more thoroughly. Yeah?
Oh, I was just going to say, I was going to move that we make an amendment to add.
We could amend that right now and get it done. Yes.
To add a specific date for when the Department of the Environment has to report to the county. Yeah.
June 30th?
What do you think, Phil? I mean,
what works for you?
I don't have an opinion, really.
Yeah, I was just going to ask the county.
Any date is fine. Yeah. If it's annual, you could say the December meeting.
December meeting of the legislature.
Well, we're in budget. I'd rather do a month or two before that.
September?
Sure.
September's good.
And I guess that will have to be added also to be reported to the Energy and Environment Committee.
So I'm going to say by September 30th of each year?
Works for me, but I'm not the sponsor.
I would hope, actually. I'm first of all hopeful that the administration doesn't view this simply as a burden, but as an opportunity to speak on and improve the environment. And I would hope that there would be an ongoing conversation with the administration as to the progress of the restoration, PCBs, and these other things. I'm hopeful that this is a good thing that everybody kind of wants to do.
I just want to say that there will be other issues that will come up that we can't anticipate, but that doesn't stop it. And, I think we're in a really good place with this amendment, and as soon as you're ready, I think I'd like to call the question because we have an agenda and I want to get through it.
Yes. Okay. The language for Legislator Maloney, if you want to move, you just want to move forward on the language that's printed now.
Can we do it all at once? The language as is, as we have it, and with this addition. So let's make this addition. And then see if we can set the public hearing.
We probably will have to add the friendly amendment first, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you please
read what you have?
Here's what I've got. In paragraph A, this is section 7, paragraph A under implementation, the second sentence would read, "The executive and Department of the Environment shall zealously advocate these policies with the jurisdictional agencies and annually report to the legislature by September 30th of each year as to the progress of restoration." So we'd be adding the phrase "by September 30th of each year."
And did we add that it's going to be reported to this committee?
Committee of Jurisdiction.
To the... I think that was... And annually report to the environment, to the jurisdictional committee? So the annual report to the jurisdictional committee of the legislature and the legislature as to the progress. I'm sorry. Annual report by September 30th of each year to the legislature and the jurisdictional committee as to the progress of the restoration.
All right.
Make
so
a motion.
Wait, I mean.
I understand the purpose and the utility of it. I always do feel. The charge for the Department of the Environment is primarily looking at county operations, supporting municipalities as far as different environmental and energy and sustainability initiatives. I always just want to kind of lay it out there that, you know, this is somewhat more outward looking in kind of having the department play this kind of role or have a charge here to advocate for the policies with the agency.
Amanda, if you have more to say, could you stand up and step closer, please? You're good?
Yeah, it's just a matter of kind of discussion, just to kind of remember the framing of the environment.
Okay, if I just could on that.
Yeah.
So we just heard from the executive branch of government after we got specific about us actually getting this report, and it was vague what you were saying, but it's almost like this isn't in your this isn't your scope, that department, which you headed for a long time, that it's not in your department's scope, I don't think that the amendment I suggested, all it did was solidify, I think, a little more that we were going to get that report, and now we're hearing from the executive branch of government.
She's going beyond the report. She's saying that the effort that we're asking to advocate to show up at these DEC or EPA hearings is an outward-looking effort that's not what they've traditionally done.
So before we go any further with this, we need to have a conversation on whether you think we're asking something of you that's appropriate, because it sounds like that's what's being said.
So, if I may, I struggle with this a little bit because I think it's very important what you're looking for as far as the someone to keep their eyes on what's going on with the Hudson River, to look at whether or not it's being effective, to see if these different opportunities are being utilized. However, primarily the scope of environment, as it's written, reflected in the code, in the charter, is primarily looking at county government operations and then where we can support other municipalities in doing things with similar effort. So I'm being cautious of resources and staffing at the Department of the Environment, even though I very much understand the intent of this. And I'm not flagging this as a yes or no, but I just want to kind of raise the issue for discussion.
And go ahead.
Does anyone else on the committee have a response before I go? Okay. I hear you, Deputy LaValle. Two things. One, I'm personally, as one legislator, interested in expanding what the Department of Environment can do by statute or charter change, whatever we have to do. I think the department does a little bit of that already. I know with some of the like water things and bank. I know I'm not speaking in very specifics or clearly right now, but Director Vazna could tell us what you do that's outside actually county operations. But even if that's not what we're going to do right now, because that's not what this is specifically about, of course, could you recommend another department or set of departments that you would find more appropriate to enforce this?
Or report on data?
I think it comes back to what I was saying, that I understand why and the value of it, but I think I'm also just trying to steward the resource of the Department of the Environment and the staff time. So it's kind of a comment on that, I would say, more than anything. I think actually as far as who you would want reporting on this or who you would want engaged in looking at this, it's how it's worded currently with the executive and the Department of the Environment. I think that's appropriate.
Gives you the flexibility to deploy resources? Yeah.
Legislator Maloney.
In the charter, it does say prepare and present oral, written, and multi-media reports to the county legislature, municipal officials, and the media and the public. I mean, it's fair.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I think Phil is saying, that he'd like to see this. I mean, I remember years ago approving a grant for a drone that was going to go out and investigate global warming from years back till now in Ulster County or weather pattern changes. It seems pretty broad. Did we get a drone a couple years ago?
There is a drone.
Yeah, I remember
it's
approving a grant
used,
and we could go back and listen, but what we were told was we were going to compare. I remember asking about where you were getting your data to compare, but we were tracking weather pattern changes inside of Ulster County.
I think we were looking at, it has a thermal camera on it, and I think one of the intents was to look for actually building energy loss and roofs. I don't know if that
sounds more in line.
Yeah.
It
so
sounds
it
more in line, but we were presented with definitive, we can go back and listen to it, but I'm 100% positive that we were given a explanation on mostly what I remember hearing was we were, and I remember we had a whole conversation about Weather Channel tracking data, where you were getting your data to compare till now. And my point is that this seems a little more reasonable than even that, or less broad. Yeah. So I think through the years, if the executive branch of government felt that it was something worthy, no matter how broad it was worthy, and now we're presented with a legislative suggestion, and we're hearing it might be a little too broad. So this is a give and take. This is a healthy conversation.
And I really do remember the ground as being building energy, green infrastructure, kind of the thermal being very much around kind of our building stock, and being able to look at before and afters when we do energy retrofits.
That was part of it. I'd love to see the report that came out of it and where we decided to go because of that drawing.
I'm going to put a pause on this.
Yeah.
We have three motions, three resolutions on the table. If there's no way to resolve this, we will take no action. But if we can resolve it now and people are ready to take an action, let's do that. If we need a further conversation, let's determine that, because we have two other things, plus other resolutions, plus a presentation.
And we have some time issues.
My only point is now hearing that the executive side, which we're going to rely on for this, if they're not, their heart's not in it, and they don't think this is something that they have, sometimes it's just the personnel to do. It's a small department, and that may be part of the concern. There's more and more we're giving to Department of the Environment. I don't want to go any further until I know that this is going to be done, or we're just going to add another policy, law, memorializing resolution, or study to something. And there's a lot of studies out there that we're not doing right now. Do we have the cooperation of the executive branch of government, and do they feel the Department of the Environment has the personnel and the capabilities to diligently give us what we're asking for?
It's important that we ask for input, but we set policy and they do operations.
They're the ones that give us the data and the study, though.
Legislator Erner, go ahead.
I think Legislator Maloney is making a crucial point. I think that I would urge the committee to send it to a hearing so we can hear from the public in July, and we won't get to vote again in this committee on the policy or even discuss it next month. The soonest it would come back here is August. In the meantime, I would happily talk with Deputy Evolve, whoever you want, in the administration, council, whatever we need to do to satisfy your concerns, talk with you, Joe, and satisfy yours and as well.
Do you want to call? I would request somebody on the committee call the question.
So I would like to call the question. I'm calling the question on the amendment, or I'm calling the question on the public hearing?
Well,
you moved to amend. I moved to amend. Do we have a second? Just do that up.
Yeah.
Second.
Okay.
And my suggestion is that we first do the amendment.
Or
we can do all the changes, including this, as an amendment, and then the public hearing.
Well, we have to vote on this to add it to the proposed amendments already.
Yes.
So we have a first, we have a second, so we just have to do a vote.
All right. All in favor of the language as presented by Council Gordon, to be amended to the resolution?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. And then as amended, including the changes that we got coming into this meeting, that would be what we are setting a public hearing on. Is our, let me ask for a motion.
I was going to move that to vote on the public hearing.
Okay. Second. And all in favor of setting the public hearing on resolution as stated in resolution number 5. Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion carries. We will set a public hearing. We will have further conversations and listen to the public, and then decide at a future meeting if there are any other changes that need to be made before it goes to the full legislature. Okay. And I just would like to step back to 79. This is the opt-out of CDG. Legislator Maloney, quickly, did you have any questions on this while Dana Hall is here to answer? We had a really clear presentation, but
no,
you're okay with this?
I'm good. And this is a memorializing type situation.
Yep. Yeah, so. Okay, so on resolution number 79, urging essentially opt out CDG, how all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Resolution number 79 passes. And
we want to go back to the presentation.
Do you want to go back to the presentation?
I do want to go back to the presentation, and we're not, and we'll ask about the other after the presentation.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Jim Gordon had asked a few months ago to present his perspective as a board member of the UCRA, and I know you had some concerns, so we, instead of having him first on the agenda, we wanted to wait till you were here.
That's all right. Thanks, everybody. And I know 4:30 is a hard stop for the chairwoman, so I'm going to kind of race through this more than I perhaps am comfortable doing, but everybody can contact me with questions. And the first thing I want to say is I'm a board member. I've been on the board of the Resource Recovery Agency since March of last year. So I have, compared to the board now, I have a ton of experience. Because one of the problems of trying to run a $20 million public benefit corporation with volunteers is you lose volunteers. Okay, so that is a very big problem. I also want to stress that this is not a knock at the employees. I'm asking the county legislature to take it over and hire the people who are in place now, including the executive director. This is not something because people are doing a bad job. They're not. Where the failure comes is in the management structure of a volunteer board trying to manage on one meeting a month schedule to manage something as complicated as solid waste was relatively easy when all we had to do was truck it 250 miles. That is no longer the paradigm that we should be established. So I have 9 reasons why the county should take this over. I'm going to run through the list pretty quickly, and then I'm happy to answer questions and have a discussion. I think the term we have to use now is not trash management, but materials management. And the number one reason why the county should take over trash management or turn it into materials management is leadership. The county legislature is elected, the executive office are elected, and they're not elected to duck the tough questions. In 1987, when the Resource Recovery Agency was set up, it was explicitly set up because the 33-member legislature at that time did not want to deal with the hard question of whether we build an incinerator or a big landfill or some other way. So they foisted it on a 5-member committee and created this Resource Recovery Agency. Now, among the things that have changed since then are climate change and the fact that we have an executive. Nowhere in the established paradigm that we're using does the elected executive have any say in what we're going to do with our materials. And that's really just, it's kind of foolish because the executive's office is the one who has to deal with the entire county. Legislators deal with their particular constituency. The executive has to have the overview. And so how can something as important as materials management, as the basic government function of getting rid of waste, how can that not be something that the executive is concerned with? It just doesn't make any sense. So on the one hand, step up, you're elected and things have changed and the county legislature and the county executive have to adopt to the new situation. Number 2 is the failed system that we have. to have a $20 million operation, I know I'm repeating myself, but I've been on the board and I see how difficult it is to make any substantive decisions with a five-member board that is constantly rotating, constantly changing. As I said, I've been on the board a little more than a year, and we now have four new members around me. So all the experience, all the institutional knowledge is gone. And now I'm the most experienced board member. We're down two board members, and we don't know when we're going to get new board members. So things are more or less at a standstill. Yes, the trucks are running. There's no crisis. Greg is doing a very good job keeping the agency running. But there is no vision now. There is no where do we go from here? Now, I don't know how many of you may have gotten to read the op-ed I put into the HV1. So maybe I'm repeating myself a little bit. If not, please let me know, and I'll make sure you get a copy of that, because I lay it out a lot more precisely than I'm able to do when I'm just speaking, you know, with a clock. So number three, why now? Because the legislative contract with the RRA expires in 2025. So if we make this decision now, we have a chance to do this in a very thoughtful way that doesn't impact operations and which allows the county and the RRA to come together in a very seamless way. There's a lot of big decisions that are waiting now. As far as I know, and you know, Greg can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the Department of Environmental Conservation is going to allow us to continue dumping at Seneca Meadows. I think they're probably going to expand, you know, or extend that contract. I know the people of Seneca Meadows don't want that giant landfill where we're sending all our stuff. So we may have a grace period that the state allows us to pretend, you know, still send our garbage out of sight and out of mind. But does Ulster County really want to do that? Do we really want to do the carbon loading of sending our garbage 250 miles in a diesel truck one way and then the empty diesel runs back the other way? I mean, is that really where the people of Ulster County think we should be spending $10 million? Because that's what the system costs right now. It's a $17 million roughly operation, $17.5 million annually, and about $10 million of that is simply in trucking it away and getting rid of it. I think we can do better stuff with the money. And what would that be? Well, the term maximum diversion is something that we're using around the RRA. Try and front load all the removal of all the stuff that we can, and then only truck what is, you know, necessary to go to the landfill. There's a lot more we can do to maximize the diversion of materials. There are technological solutions that companies have presented to us, and it is, in my mind, a very foolish way to, based on what I know now, a foolish way to proceed for this county, because this county is a very responsible county. We've had presentations where companies will come in and on their own $65 million dime build a machine where they will take care of all our trash for us. They also might want to import trash to make it where, you know, they can make a return on their investment. And how would they do that? By creating natural gas and sending that to the grid. So there's a variety of questions that I still have about that. Where's the interconnection? Who's going to pay for the interconnections? What will the energy be used for? What comes out the bottom end? What comes out the top end? There's an awful lot of questions that are unresolved about that I don't think it's fair to have a five-member board consider, because we don't have the technological expertise. So do we hire a consultant, or do we have the county with the expertise that is more broadly available with the county? Now, yes, you might have to hire some additional people, but instead of having a once-a-month board of amateurs meeting to try and make big decisions, you have a structure. You have an executive who's in charge. You have her deputies. You have the department heads. And it just is a much better way to run an operation as important as materials management. There are other choices we have to make. Do we want to build a landfill? Well, first we have to find out if this county is even able to handle a landfill in terms of what land and what resources are available. Right now, as a board, we can't make that decision, because we don't have enough board members. So that's sitting there. Making decisions on whether or not to, you know, bring in these corporations to give us their pitch to us in the legislature. We can't really do that. We don't have a board. We don't want to have people come in and make their hour-long presentation or their 45-minute presentation and then have to call them in a couple of months when we have new board members. This is really no way to run a railroad, folks. And this railroad is very important. I hear from a lot of legislators that, oh, this is too tough, this is a burden, this is a burden, we can't take this on. I don't know what the executive thinks because I haven't heard back. I wrote her a letter in January, I wrote the op-ed, I still have not heard back. I'm quite disappointed by that, but you know, I understand that the job is new and she's on a steep learning curve. I hope to hear back from her soon, but so far I don't know. I look at this as an opportunity. Because we have this situation now where everything is more or less halted in place, among the things the Resource Recovery Agency has is good programs for composting, good programs for electronic collection, household hazardous waste. The county can scale this up and look at it holistically. The county can do this in a decentralized manner. For example, one of the proposals that we have now is for a decentralized system of composting around the county using the old landfills that are already existing and the existing transfer stations. They have the infrastructure, they have the roads, they have everything they need that so it could be a low cost option. You'd have to build, you know, maybe composting facilities, which are not that expensive. And the burden, quote unquote, is really eclipsed in my mind by the opportunity to create really top-notch compost that this area is crying out for. We have greenhouses springing up, we have CSAs, we have backyard gardeners, we have nurseries. This area could be a breadbasket for the entire New York City metropolitan area. And it should be. I mean, we have beautiful farmland and we have people who know how to make it work. It's a jobs creator. You know, you start putting in composting facilities, you start putting in materials management facilities. This is not really something to run away from. This is an opportunity to embrace. And I'm really kind of disappointed that a legislature in a county as allegedly progressive as Ulster County has let, you know, is seeming like they don't want to undertake this because it's too challenging. And as I said, I haven't heard from the executive, so I don't know what the situation is. I know it's not as simple as I'm making it, but that is the perspective that I'm presenting so that we can have a discussion. Resources. You take the Resource Recovery Agency and the Environmental Department and the Planning Department and the DPW and crucially the sheriff. Right now, we don't have an ability really to enforce the recycling laws that we have in place. So they're not being enforced. That's basically the bottom line. And with the sheriff on board, with the county and the county able to say, look, can you direct a little resources to doing this? It's not something that is all that difficult to do. We've discussed it in the Resource Recovery Agency meetings, how we could do this, and there are ways to do it. But we haven't had the time to get to it because we have all these ancillary concerns. So in the year and a half that I've been on the board, the almost year and a half, we've talked about recycling, we've talked about recycling enforcement. Nothing really has advanced beyond the talking stage. So if you take the immediacy of the county executive and the deputies and the department heads and the immediacy of being able to call a meeting on short notice and get things done, you'd have a lot more success in trying to move this forward. Right now, once a month, maybe twice a month if we have a special meeting, if we even get to the vision questions, which so far we haven't, I mean, that's what we're up against. We're trying to, like I said, to the urge of sounding like I'm repeating myself, we're trying to run a $20 million operation with volunteers on a once a month situation. The climate crisis. We're gonna need that soil. We're going to need to feed ourselves in the relatively near future. 20 years, 50 years, who knows? But resiliency is something that the county has been talking about. This is a way to build resiliency in. Start composting, start getting that soil, start figuring out ways, because right now we're not dealing with the climate crisis, and so the oceans are going to rise. Things are going to get hotter. The food supply is going to be disrupted. Now maybe a miracle will happen and none of that will occur. Well, then we're ahead of the game. But so far, I'm not expecting any miracles, and we have to start looking down the line a couple of decades. Where are these refugees from Long Island and New York City going to go? Where are the refugees from, you know, the Jersey coast? How are we going to feed ourselves when we can't get food from California anymore? We have to start thinking this way. Materials management is a way to start thinking that way. Politics, all right? A lot of legislators think, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to avoid that issue. You're not going to be able to avoid this. You know, you may say, no, we don't want it. It's going to keep coming up on your door, like the Platicill resolution of last month. People are going to want their county legislators involved. They're going to want the county executive involved. When these big questions come up, Are we going to build a $65 million machine and import solid waste? You think a five-member board is going to be like, people are going to listen to us? You think that they're not going to come screaming to your door? You think they're not going to go screaming to the executive's door? Of course they are. So you're not going to avoid it. Only difference will be you don't have any power to say anything about it, except for the power of the bully pulpit. And, you know, we're not going to need your money necessarily because these corporations are offering to pay for everything. So you really have dealt yourself out of the game in a very important area of government. Solid waste. How could it get any more basic than getting rid of the garbage? So that brings me back to leadership. Take the reins. The elected officials need to be the people in charge, not a board member, not five board members who, you know, despite our efforts, and I'm not criticizing our board members, we all try very hard. It's just pretty much a non-winnable situation. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to hear about it. And I know you're short on time, yeah. So if you want to move on to something else, I'll leave my number and we can all talk about this whenever you want. I'll come back.
I think this is an opening conversation. I'm going to give 5 more minutes, and then we have to finish up. And I saw Johan first.
So
legislator.
I kind of want to opine on a lot of the things that you mentioned. You threw some problems out there at the end. Migrants.
No, not migrants. Climate refugees.
So it's a migration crisis. They're migrants, and I got the floor, and I'll talk. Food without calories.
Yeah,
these are all. Excuse me.
Accurately.
Excuse me. I used it. You brought up the problem. We can argue over semantics, but like I said, like Manna said, we got 5 minutes. All right.
So then continue.
Be a professional. All right. I didn't speak when you were talking. I have something to say, and I'm going to say it. These are problems that politicians in this country created. Solid waste is the most corrupt industry this country's ever seen. To put an elected official, one person basically over that, it's basically going to be overseen by DPW, which is probably the biggest mess in our county right now. There's 3 or 4 sub-departments of DPW that don't even have a home for their equipment or their people. They're overseeing 10 capital projects, 5 major ones, all behind schedule and over budget. We've had 5 executives just over the last 3 years. Multiple corrupt leases, Citizens Bank, BOE, the 911 Center debacle, where we just paid $4 million for a property that was bought for $2 million, and now we find out it's completely contaminated and has no water. We're still moving forward. We haven't said time out, stop, take a look. 701 Grand Avenue to pay their taxes for 10 years. They owe us $10 million. We're not getting it. Tech City, we're now trying to rapidly move 4 departments over there because they're... Look, I'm not going to go on right now. This guy's not going to be professional, Manna.
Well,
so
but also,
my point
Joe,
is
this isn't...
No, I'll make my point. My point is, you're taking something that's actually functioning innovatively, we have a problem. Obviously, there's relationship problems I think we have. I don't think people understand the true chain of command over there. There's things that can be fixed, but that the department itself over there, the plant, is running very efficiently compared to the rest of the county, to be honest with you. Have we spotted a landfill? No. Have we had enough conversations? No. Are there some abuse and issues over there with regard to who's the comptroller, the director, the plant manager, the board, the lawyer? These are things that need to be dealt with. I think there's a lot about counsel and your own representation. Maybe you need 7 members. This country was built on volunteers bringing, momentarily serving their community and doing some of the greatest things that we've ever seen. The idea that you're going to bring in a paid politician and things are going to be any better, I think is not my experience. I actually think when I look at the RRA, like I said, innovation, some of these things 20 and 30 years down the line have been planned for them. No. The functioning of that plant, like I said, better than anything else I see in the county. To bring solid waste and the money, the corruption, and give it to a politician that is raising hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, I think is a recipe for disaster. I think we go from something we could fix going into the future to something that's a total disaster. That's my thought. Listening to you talk about a lot of these things, very smart man. Most of the stuff you brought up I agree with. Not the overall solution of dissolving and going to a county operation. But five or seven people like you put your time, maybe a second or third meeting. If that's not something that you or somebody else wanted to do, then don't do it. We'll get somebody that wants to be there. After my day's done serving in the legislature, I'd be happy to go on to the ORA two or three meetings a month. And I feel with the right lawyer and visiting what's going on over there now, the director we've thrown into a very difficult situation with regards to the plant manager, the controller, the lawyer. It's an impossible situation, but it's a situation that I think that if we clarify the chain of command, we get you guys a real lawyer, maybe two more members, I think we could accomplish some of these things that we haven't accomplished, that we need to accomplish 20 or 30 years down the line while we keep that plant running properly. That's my thought. I didn't mean to go at your challenge. I agree with you on a lot, but I think we got to be real careful before we just throw the baby out with the bathwater and hand this over to DPW, and let's take a look at our DPW before we think they can handle this. That's all I wanted to say.
So first of let me just say, I'm not advocating it be handed over to the DPW. I'm advocating that the RRA be brought in place and be a separate department, a materials management department. So it's separate, okay? They have a budget. They have $17 million.
If you look at counties that have done that, it basically becomes a branch of public works.
Well, that would be up to manage
like the highway department.
Okay, anyway.
This is an opening conversation. It's just the beginning. Jim pointed out that there is a contract that expires in 2025. I think it's appropriate that we start this conversation, and I actually think we should probably have at least one meeting that is just on this topic and not try to put it into 5 minutes. It's too big and too important. And there is a proposal to bring members from the RRA, members from the legislature, and representatives from the public to meet again on a regular basis. So we're getting close to and we have a couple more resolutions to finish up.
Oh, I just had one quick question, and that was, we were talking, a lot of focus was on composting. What percentage of the waste that's coming into the RRA is compostable?
The figures vary because we haven't had a good comprehensive waste characterization study done, but you can find figures going from 30% to around 60%, depending on whose numbers you want to look at.
30 to 60%.
So just by way of, so if it's 60%, that's over, it's about 70,000 tons a year.
So that, just getting that under control in itself would save the county humongous sums of money and
plus producing material that is very useful.
Yeah.
And I just want to remind folks that there is a process going on to create a reuse innovation center, and they're looking at the whatever data is available in terms of waste composition and so forth. So those reports are, we just had a report on that was excellent, and that process is moving forward. And as I said, there's been some suggestion that there's a way to meet on a regular basis, not in this committee, but on a regular basis with representatives from the legislature, the agency, and the public. And so that, and I think Council Gordon found a resolution of a committee that previously existed that might be, we might consider resurrecting.
So for the solid waste management.
Yeah. And I really thank you. I am going to go back to this after we get through the resolutions, if you don't mind, because it's critical that we do this. Ironically, resolution number 348, confirming appointment to the UCRRA.
So I would like to make a motion to block the two of them. 348 and 349.
I'll second that.
And then I do have something just...
Okay, on the block, we have a motion and a second. Anyone opposed to blocking? Okay, we're going to block resolution 348 and 349. And Legislator Hansen, please.
So Chair Bartels apologizes she could not be here. She wanted to be. So she just gave me some something to read on these two resolutions. We will be sending, we as in her, a press release out today advertising the two vacant positions. Applicants will be encouraged to submit applications ASAP with a firm cutoff date of Friday, June 16th at 5 p.m. Applications will be considered as they are received. There may have to be a special meeting of the committee to interview candidates. With that said, I would like to make a motion to take no action on these two resolutions.
I think we don't need a motion for no action.
Okay.
I'd like to postpone, but if we don't do anything.
Not postpone.
Just take no action.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is if we were going to postpone officially and it's a vote, but if it's.
Right,
no action.
Yes. You're correct. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
If I could just ask one question. This issue of whether or not elected officials would be eligible to serve has come up repeatedly now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if we're going to run an ad, that we need to specify that
I will let
that maybe elected officials are not eligible, because I've had
always have an elected official or two.
Yes.
Yes.
I've had two elected officials from Hurley.
Right, I did agree
board.
That. Yes, okay. Yeah. I will convey that information.
Perfect. And Gina, I'm sorry, can you just repeat again the deadline on that?
Yeah. Friday, June 16th at 5 p.m. But as they come in, they're going to look at them. They're not going to wait for that date because we know it's
right.
time sensitive.
And so what we've done in the past is to create a special meeting, go into executive session and interview people. And then also, as part of an executive session, make a recommendation, decide on our recommendation come out of, and fill in the slots. And so that's the process. And I ask everyone, if you know of people that are knowledgeable, that have background information, ideally experience,
and who play well with others.
And play well with others.
Yes.
Okay. So with that, we are taking no action on resolution 348 or 349. Resolution 350, and that's the conveyance of county-owned property acquired pursuant to Article 11 of real property tax for unpaid taxes to the town of Shandaken. Discussion? If not, let's just get a motion and a second and take action. So do I hear a motion?
Motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Resolution 350, hearing no discussion, I'd like,
you're calling the question.
You're ready to vote. Okay. To call the question, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Joe, are you okay with this one? Okay. Resolution 363, appointing member to the Recycling Oversight Committee, and that is another stakeholder in this process. And I do think we'll have a chance to get to you before. In that the Recycling Oversight Committee was designed to have representatives from all the sectors that are essentially stakeholders that will be affected. But it's specifically about adding or deleting regulated recyclables. It's not about landfill siting and all the other waste diversion strategies. And there has been an attempt to develop a zero waste implementation plan to supplement the local solid waste management plan with more information and an actual plan for waste diversion, and that's sitting on a shelf. So we have a lot of things in progress, and finding a way to harness that and getting everybody to work together, I think, is really critical. I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry, does the Resource Recovery Agency have a person on that
yes.
group? Okay.
Yeah. It used to be Charlie Landing. I'm not sure who it is.
Donna Egan, she's a non-voting member.
Yeah. Pardon?
Donna Egan.
Okay, Egan. Thank you.
Yeah. And then I attend as well.
I'm sorry?
I attend as well, just so that
yes.
I'm there and available.
Great.
Listening.
We have a person named and in the resolution, and is everyone ready to take action on this appointing a member to the Recycling Oversight Committee? Yep.
Right here.
Oops. No point. Leslie Suprenant. Is everyone all in favor, please? Do we have a motion and a second?
Did we just?
Okay, let's do that first.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'll make that motion.
I second it.
Okay. And this is for resolution number 363. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. And before, we have several other updates, but I think. You know, the meeting can continue. Is there another meeting in here at 4:30?
Yes. No, not at 4:30, but
okay,
shortly there.
All right, then.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but I think the department updates, unless something is really urgent, and all of the other that we may need to postpone that. Well, we have a couple minutes, but. Andy asked for our attention for...
In relation to what Mr. Gordon was saying...
Could you stand up so I could hear you? Thank you.
I didn't come here to speak, but to clarify in my mind, the Resource Recovery Agency, the leadership problem has been a problem, but what you need to do is to get a hold of... Ulster County Code, Administrative Code 304, and read through that, and then take a contract that the county has with the Resource Recovery Agency and read through that and see how confusing it is who does what. The Recycling Committee, like Manna said, has a vote on something, has a say on something. The Department of Environment has something to say on what we can do. If you read in the contract, if I'm not mistaken, it says we can do anything we want, and then the next paragraph says we can't do anything unless we get the approval of the legislature. So that might be one way to clarify what the situation is with regards to what Mr. Gordon has said. The board does work well. I was on it for 5 years, and as Manna knows, and I worked for the agency for 2 years. So it can work, it just needs to get these two people back again so we can have, you know, a full board. But another thing is, if you read these contracts, you see that we're supposed to have an alternative site. It's in there. It's never been done. So what I'm gonna say is, you can make your decision about the legislative taking it over. I don't think it's a good idea, but I'm not saying it because I have any stake in the game, but that's all I say. Read 304, code 304, and read the contract that we have, and see how it meshes. Thank you.
That's a really good suggestion. And can you maybe make links available to us so it'll be easy for people to do that?
The 309, yeah.
304 is the code you put into the legislator. Go down where it says codes, put in 304, that'll come up. The contract, if you contact our office, Melinda, the secretary, will be able to provide you with a contract and 5 or 6 amendments, whatever it is that has.
Okay.
That goes with it. And just read it. I did it over the weekend. I'm not a lawyer.
I know, I agree. I think we need clarity there.
Greg, please.
I was just going to say, because of the subject matter, that one of the things I think that would help greatly if the legislature was to figure out what exactly their expectation was for the board and stuff, because I keep hearing about leadership and expertise and stuff. Well, I came all the way from California as an expert who's been leading these things for over 30 years. I don't really need a board that are experts. I understand that there needs to be oversight, and that I can't go over there and run wild without somebody making sure that I'm not, you know, going down some road that nobody would agree with me going down. But at the same time, I think that part of the problem is understanding and making sure people who come to be on that board have a clear understanding of their role. And is it to come over and try to run the place? Or is it to come over and try to be oversight to make sure the people running the place aren't running off the rails, doing silly things, right? So I think there's a distinction there, and I think it's important that maybe as you guys move forward with whatever decisions you make, that is something that is considered. What exactly is the purpose of the board? And what is the purpose of an executive director? Because if your board's going to run it, you don't need me, quite frankly.
Well, somebody has to
run
the
operation.
It's almost like the legislature and the executive branch.
Yeah.
That the board sets policy and
which is exactly direction, policy. Yes, absolutely. But I think what you find out is that in the short time I've been here, I've seen this. You have some board members that come on. I will tell you, Andrew is one that came on, and he goes, "I'm not here to try to, you know, micromanage anything," and he doesn't. But you do have some board members who come on with a different mindset where they think they need to come in and take charge and do something, and it's like, then I'm sitting there going, well, let me go through this process and come back to you with a full, you know, appraisal of this idea or something, whenever I get to it. And they're trying to jump ahead and jump in the middle of it and come up and go, well, what about this, what about that, and I don't like this or I don't like that. And you don't get very far, because you said that you spend more time dealing with all the different personalities and all the back and forth instead of focusing on your job and getting your job done. And so that's something I've seen in a very short period of time. You do have people like Andrew who step on there, and I'm not saying it because he's sitting there and saying it's true. He stepped in there, he has no interest in micromanaging. But you have had some people on that board that are more interested in being, you know, and it's like, don't, if you get something, send it to me right away, Greg. I got to review it. Okay, well, what does that mean? Can I move forward with anything, or do I have to wait for your review of technical stuff you may not even understand before I can even try to make any effort to get anything done? And everybody's clamoring, get something done. We really want to reduce carbon emissions, you know, get some done. Well, okay, but I got to be able to do it, right? And so that's, when you have volunteers, you're going to have all different personalities, you're going to have different ideas. I think if the people appointing the volunteers were to be very clear and very precise in what they ask those volunteers to do, it might help the volunteers and help the agency.
I get what you're saying, and I agree. I mean, we want to spot a landfill, so we need to know the acreage, the water underneath situation. We need to know the host benefits and all these other things. So the board says, we want these studies. Now it's your job to go and get these, interview these companies. A lot of it's now in your, you know, your wheelhouse now. It's, they want a it's policy and operations. And I get what you're saying. And then on top of it, you have a plant manager that also thinks that he's got your job. Somehow he's your, and then you have a comptroller. I don't know what the hell that guy does. So we have to get down to a clear, go through this language that contradicts itself, like you're saying. You can do whatever you want, except you don't have any money to do anything you want without our approval. And then you have three or four different positions. You have a board, a director, a comptroller, and then a plant manager that all don't have defined jobs at times, that all think they're each other's bosses. And on top of that, you got board counsel that is working for the plant manager, let's just be honest, and rather than the board itself. So this could work a lot better if we just get some clarity in not only the language, you know, the language, but then we make sure everybody there understands the clarity. And that's on us. This is a board that we appoint So in other words, and that board oversees the RRA, so this is on us. We need to do a better job. We should have probably a special committee called, and I know the chair has talked about it, just to go over all this. But this is going to take, it could be done if we get the right legislators on a committee. We could take a couple of months, and if we have to change some language and enact some things, ask the state maybe if we can change this or that. But get this straight, I think it can run better. And I don't think we need to do anything drastic except just clarify what the hell everyone's supposed to be doing over there and in the enacting language. But I get what both of you are saying. I agree.
I'm trying.
Yeah. I appreciate what you just said. I think it's in conjunction. I think you guys just agreed with each other.
If you read the contract that we have with the county, technically, we can say we're putting a landfill in wherever you want. You know, it'd be the town that would stop us. The legislature can't tell us. But that's one interpretation of one section.
Yeah.
And you read another section. So, that would be the interpretation. Another thing I'm going to say quickly on the composting, the Resource Recovery Agency is only responsible for the garbage coming from the towns and the town transfer stations. If you want to get composting and organic material out, how are you going to get it out of the packer trucks that pick up from the houses and everything's all mixed in? The, bottles, cans, and a black plastic bag. That's where you're going to have a problem. Compostables or organics are easy to get rid of but hard to separate. Whereas
we will have a focused meeting,
okay,
and we'll prepare an agenda and really do it in an organized way.
I'm sorry.
I just, because of the hard stop, okay. I want to say that next time we will put the committee reports and department reports back at the top of the agenda. Is there anything that we need to know before? Go ahead.
I have a brief update here, Green. Thanks. This will be my last meeting with the committee. I've given my resignation for my position as the director of the Department of the Environment, and I'll be departing in a couple of weeks. So it's been a pleasure to work with all of you. I think, thank you for appointing me to the position. And look forward to seeing the good work that this committee does for the county going forward.
You're leaving the county?
We just keep making more work for your department.
So you're staying in the county?
I am. Yes.
The county government? Oh, well, that's what I meant. Tell us what department you're going to.
Staying, living in the county.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Great. And I retired this week, and so did Alan Chartok. Anyway, so
Alan Chartok in the same week.
Yeah. And the world is still spinning in its axis.
So far,
all right. I'm sorry to kind of be pushy and time concerned, but just from the departments, is there anything that can't wait till next month?
We obviously have a lot on hold right now, so there's not a lot more for me to tell you, so we're fine.
And there were two responses on the landfill feasibility?
There are two responses on the landfill feasibility study. We could award, but the board has decided to wait. So we're not. And then there were 5 total on the statement of interest, and those are on our website. Anybody that wants to go look at them, you can go look exactly what's been proposed.
I'm sorry, and those are on the website now?
They're on the website, yes. So you can go look for the statement of interest there and pull them all up and see what the different companies are and what they proposed. So, and if you guys have any questions about any of that, I'm more than happy to sit down with anybody and go through it. And just discuss it.
Where would that statement of interest be on the bids tab?
It might be under the bids. If not, look at about us. We're gonna pull that tab down, then go down, look, and see if it's on there. I tried to get
it. Oh, yep, it's there.
Okay.
About us.
Okay. About us, and then down on it. You'll find it.
About us.
So,
okay.
Yep. And you should
second from the bottom.
You should find all 5 of them on there. And like I said, if there's any questions, curiosities, I'll answer them the best I can, of course. And then we will have the presentations eventually, and those will be open to the public, obviously. So anyone that's interested in coming to those will be able to do so.
Great. And if I could just jump in, I was going to say that I met with Greg earlier in the week, and one thing that I had suggested was that Greg make a presentation to the entire legislature to kind of fill us in on what's happening at the Resource Recovery Agency, and also clarify, you know, the situations of you know, of all that is involved with landfill siting, so that we don't have other situations like the Plattekill situation come up, and also, you know, address some of these long-standing issues that are seem to all be kind of coming at a head at the same time. And so I had proposed that Greg perhaps do that presentation before the legislature in the June meeting. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I did propose that to Chair Bartels. But if not in June, I hope that we can do that in July, because I think there's a lot that the director needs to share with the legislature and that is relevant to everyone in the room. So.
And I appreciate that.
Certainly.
Okay. Any other burning desires or anything else that can't wait another month? We have a lot on our plate and a lot to sort through, but we are making progress. So thank you all, and I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I thought.
Second. Yeah, did you second it? Second
okay. I'll second it.
Whatever. Second, third, fourth.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Meeting is adjourned at 4:36.
Thank you.